This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Did you know that Rabble.ca is holding a donation drive right now? If you like to support independent media and you want us around, you can donate at rabble.ca/membership.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Sharon McIver is a lawyer, a Thompson Indian, and a member of the Lower Nicola Band. She was the plaintiff in McIver versus Canada, the Section 15 constitutional challenge to the status registration provisions of the Indian Act. After a 20-year struggle, she won her original case and the appeal of that decision in 2009. That BC Court of Appeal ruling found that Section 6 of the Indian Act violates Section 15 of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. The court gave Ottawa a year to fix the legislation. In response, the Conservative government has introduced Bill C-3, the Gender Equity in Indian Registration Act, now before Parliament. Sharon McIver has written an open letter opposing the bill and asking MPs to vote against it. And she's joined me this morning by phone. Hello, Sharon.
Hello.
Now, before we talk about the new legislation, can you tell us why you decided to oppose the Indian Act in 1989 and take the Government of Canada to court?
Well, in 1989, I had completed all of the internal appeals that I could within the Department of Indian Affairs, and the legislation allowed then for me to go outside of the Indian Act process and into the court process. Prior to that, I had applied for status. They had given me status and then denied status to my children. And so I decided to appeal their decision not to give status to my children. So I started in 1985 with the applications. And in 1989, I had exhausted the internal process and then went external. But I actually started in 1985.
And you mentioned status, and this case is about status and the status of women in particular. Why is status important to Native people in Canada?
Well, it's the official recognition that you are an Indian, the official recognition that you're an Indian. And so for many years, the Indian women had been discriminated against. If they married a non-Indian, be it a non-status Indian or someone who was not recognized, they immediately lost their right to recognition, or they lost their status. And by contrast, if the male, my brother, for instance, if he married out a non-status Indian or a non-Indian, his wife was given recognition. She was given status. So in 1985, when they changed the rules, they let the women who'd married out go back in, but they didn't give them the same level of status as their brothers or their male counterpart. So they continued the discrimination.
And if someone has status, what sort of benefits advantages can they gain through that?
Well, the most important piece of the recognition is that you are actually recognized as part of your community. You become a member, an official member of the community. And Indian communities or Indian bands have land set aside. You have the right to reside on the land. You have the right to participate in community activities, which you're not allowed to do if you're not status, you're not recognized as part of the band. And I think that's the most important piece, the official recognition that you actually belong to that community instead of being pushed out and not allowed to participate. In addition to that, there are benefits that you get as related to rights obtained through various treaties in the East. They were incorporated into the Indian Act. So you have the right to education, you have a right to health benefits. You have a right to harvest and fish and hunt and do those kinds of things without requiring a license and you know, the recognition that as a member of a group, you have certain Aboriginal rights that attach in addition to the benefits that you get through health and education and those kinds of things.
Now, moving to the court case, you won your court case after many years. What did the court say when you first won in 2007?
The court said that the previous discrimination that had existed up until 1985 was incorporated in the new legislation in 1985, and the discrimination continued for the women and their descendants. And that was contrary to the Charter and Section 6 of the Act, which sets out the registration provisions, was in conflict with the Charter and was of no force in effect. And then it changed the legislation. It drafted legislation that incorporated a section where all of the discrimination was gone. And so that meant that myself, my children, and my grandchildren would have equal status to that of my brother, his children, and his grandchildren. Basically, that's what they did. And so that was the decision in June of 2007.
And now the government has introduced this new bill, Bill C-3, the Gender Equity in Indian Registration Act. In your open letter, you say the new bill will not end the sex discrimination in the status registrations provision of the Indian Act. Who is still excluded from the Act?
Well, just a point of clarification. In 2007, the government appealed that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on to the BC Court of Appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And so in April 6th of 2009, the BC Court of Appeal said that, yes, Section 6 was discriminatory, and it gave the government a year to fix the legislation. So they put a moratorium on striking down of those sections. And so in April the 6th of this year, the government was to have fixed that legislation. They went to court and asked for an extension to July the 5th of this year, which is about a month away. And they had, you know, on March the 11th, they introduced the Bill C-3, the Act to Amend the Indian Act, in response to the McIver decision. And what they did was put a very, very narrow legislation forward. And so everybody's being left out. It doesn't even address the inequity in my case. And they did two things that really narrowed the decision. One is that the new legislation will only affect people born between 1951 and 1985. And secondly, there are two sections of the Indian Act. One is Section 1, one is Section 6-1 and 6-2. 6-1, if you're registered under Section 6-1, that means that you have the ability to pass your status on in your own right. You don't need another parent with status. If you're registered under Section 6-2, it means you have to have the other parent has to have status as well. The one thing that the BC Court of Appeal did, it was supposed to make me and my brother equal, or, you know, my male counterparts equal. What they did do is that they will now include my grandchildren, but they give my grandchildren the 6-2 status, which they cannot pass it on their own right. But my brother's grandchildren have 6-1 status, and he can pass it on. His grandchildren can pass it on their own right. So they didn't even do that properly. And in addition, they've left out a whole lot of people. The previous legislation and law allowed for illegitimate sons of Indian men to have status, but not illegitimate daughters. In 1985, they didn't clean that up. So We have full brother and sister born, this is an actual case, born 14 months apart. Illegitimate children of a male. The son has 61A status, which is the section that grandfathered them all in, and sister has 62 status. So he can pass his status on regardless of his partner. She cannot. They're full brother and sister. The only difference is one is male and one female. So they're leaving those out. They're not addressing that. And there are others such as children of men and women who co-parented, Indian woman, non-Indian man, living common law, they have a child. That child, because of the paternity, has been not allowed to register, and when they come back as less than their counterparts, a 6-2. So there are a lot of, we estimate about 300,000 people, Indians, that have the right to recognition out there that should be, this legislation should clean up. What they did with this minor adjustment is they picked up about 40,000 of them. The other 260 are still not going to be covered.
Okay, so there's still a lot of loopholes here.
Yeah.
Okay, and do the women who now acquire status, the 40,000, I think you mentioned about 40,000 people acquire, 40,000 women acquire status.
The descendants of women who've been discriminated against, yeah, so they may be male or female at this point.
And for the women in particular, do the women who now acquire status gain equal status to the men?
No, not under Bill C-3. And what they're addressing under Bill C-3 is grandchildren of the women who married out. And if they're born before 1985, which many of them are, they will get what we call half status, which is Section 6-2 status. The descendants of the males have full Section 6-1 status. Mm-hmm. So they're not given equal status to the descendants of the men.
And where does the bill stand right now in the House of Commons?
It went to second reading to committee. The opposition party amended the bill substantially in committee, and they were able to do that because they're the majority in committee. It went back to the House for a report, and the government asked the speaker to declare all of the changes out of order, which the speaker did. He declared all of the changes out of order except for one minor one. And so that's where it's sitting right now. And when you saw my letter, open letter to the MP saying don't vote for it because it continues to discriminate, the government has chosen not to bring it back. The July the 5th date is quickly approaching. I did receive, I instructed my lawyers to write a letter to the Department of Justice lawyers to say we will consent to an extension because the government was telling the House it's Bill C-3 or nothing, and they said if the July 5th date passes, then the legislation will lapse in B.C. and all of the Indians in B.C. will lose their status. And that was the tactic they were using to get the opposition to vote for this flawed bill. And so I instructed my lawyers to write a letter to Justice, the government's lawyer, to say we will consent to an extension because this has to be done properly. We want to withdraw the bill and introduce a proper bill. And I heard yesterday that Justice sent a letter back to my lawyers saying they're going to ask for an extension to January the 31st, 2011.
And what can people do to oppose this Bill C-3?
Well, what I need people to do is talk to their MPs, send a letter to the members of Parliament to say that they want them to take all of the discrimination out of the the Indian Act, or out of the bill C-3 or whatever bill they may introduce in relation to that. And the government, from what my talking to the politicians, they say that the government, the conservative government, is not getting any pressure at all. The people don't really care. That they don't care that this legislation goes in as flawed as it is. So I would like people to write letters to their member of parliament protesting the fact that of all of the people in Canada, the government is quite willing to introduce flawed legislation that will continue discrimination that they fully know is there. They know the discrimination is there, and basically are saying, oh, we'll make this little piecemeal, and we'll deal with it at another date. That's what they said in 1985 when they forced this legislation through because the charter had kicked in and they needed it. They said, oh, well, we'll introduce this, we'll get out into the communities, we'll do some consultation, and we'll fix it up properly. Now, 25 years later, that's exactly what they're saying in the House right now. Is, oh, well, we'll do this piecemeal, and it'll pick up a few people. You know, there are 40,000 new Indians out there. Then we'll consult with the communities, this extensive, a comprehensive consultation process, and then we'll fix it up, which is not likely to happen. So just pressure, any kind of pressure that can be brought by people who listen and see how unfair this is, and this continuing discrimination is totally unacceptable. And the other thing is daily we have people who have been waiting to have their membership and status recognized that are dying because it's been going on for so long. And so, you know, the sooner the better, but we can't have them do a flawed piece of legislation that leaves a whole lot of people out. If they pass this law, my grandchildren will have status. But on speaking to my son and my family, we won't take it. We don't want it unless everybody else can be included as well. So we're willing to wait and wait until they do it properly. Although my son waited almost 20 years to have his status recognized. And my grandchildren are now, they're going to be 17 and 19 this year. And so they've been waiting that long to have their status recognized. But they're willing to wait a little longer if it can be done right and all of the people can be included.
Okay, Sharon. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
Sharon McIver is a lawyer and a member of the Laura Nicola Band. She was the plaintiff in McIver versus Canada. And she's opposing the new law, C-3, introduced in response to her court victory.